Macroeconomic equilibrium. You may already be familiar with the concept of equilibrium from your study of microeconomics. Equilibrium occurs at a market clearing price which balances supply and demand. Now we look at the concept of equilibrium at a macroeconomic level. In this chapter, we will be using the Neo-Keynesian version of the long-run aggregate supply curve, which is drawn as a non-linear curve. This shape of the curve shows that increases in aggregate demand may increase real output and employment in the short term, though, when SRAS is upward sloping, this may be at the expense of higher inflation. Equilibrium for the whole economy. Some people question whether it can ever be the case that an economy can come close to reaching equilibrium, since it would only take one market to be out of equilibrium for this to be blocked. Our interpretation of the idea of equilibrium is a little different from a microeconomic level. What matters here is whether the total demand for goods and services is close to the actual level of production from domestic and external sources. We will come back to this when we look at excess demand and excess supply and the concept of the output gap. Macroeconomic equilibrium is established when AD intersects with SRAS. This is shown in the next diagram. At price level P1, AD is equal to SRAS, that is, at this price level, the value of output produced within the economy equates with the level of demand for goods and services. The output and the general price level in the economy will tend to adjust towards this equilibrium position. If the general price level is too high, there will be an excess supply of output and producers will experience an increase in unsold stocks. This is a signal to cut back on production to avoid an excessive level of inventories. If the price level is below equilibrium, there will be excess demand in the short run leading to a rundown of stocks, a signal for producers to expand output. Equilibrium is where the level of income flowing round the system is constant in successive time periods. Macroeconomic equilibrium, when AD equates to short-run aggregate supply. The short-run equilibrium for an economy may be higher or lower than potential GDP. AD1, AD2 is an outward shift of AD causing an expansion of short-run aggregate supply, a rise in real national output and an increase in the general price level AD1, AD3 is an inward shift of AD causing a contraction of short-run aggregate supply, a fall in real national output and a decrease in the general price level. Changes in short-run aggregate supply, SRAS. Suppose that lower raw material costs causes the short-run aggregate supply curve to shift outwards. Assume that there is no shift in AD. The next diagram shows what is likely to happen. SRAS1 shifts outwards to SRAS3 and a new equilibrium will be established at Y3. SRAS1, SRAS3 is an outward shift of AS causing an expansion of AD, a rise in real national output and a decrease in the general price level. SRAS1, SRAS2 is an inward shift of AS causing a contraction of AD, a fall in real national output and an increase in the general price level. Equilibrium using a linear aggregate supply curve. In the next diagram we see the effects of two inward shifts in AD. This might be caused, for example, by a decline in business confidence or a fall in exports of goods and services. Following a global downturn, a cut in government spending, or a rise in interest rates. The result of the inward shift of AD is a contraction along the SRAS curve and a fall in national output, that is, a possible recession. This causes downward pressure on the general price level and takes the equilibrium level of national output further away from full capacity as indicated by the LRAS curve. We would expect to see a rise in unemployment, because businesses may not be able to afford to keep as many workers on when demand output, and profits are all heading lower. This would lead to a rise in cyclical unemployment. The output gap. How much spare capacity does an economy have to meet a rise in demand? How it closes an economy to operating at its productive potential? Will the 2008-2010 recession have a permanent effect on our ability to supply goods and services? These sorts of questions all link to an important concept, the output gap. The output gap is the difference between the actual level of national output and its potential level, and is usually expressed as a percentage of the level of potential output. United Kingdom, output gap of the total economy. Actual GDP, potential GDP, measured as a percentage of potential GDP source. OECD. Negative output gap, downward pressure on inflation. The actual level of real GDP is given by the intersection of AD and SRAS, the short-run equilibrium. If actual GDP is less than potential GDP, there is a negative output gap. Some factor resources such as labor and capital machinery are underutilized, and the main problem is likely to be higher than average unemployment. A rising number of people out of work indicate an excess supply of labor, which causes pressure on real wage rates. In the next time period, a fall in real wage rates shifts SRAS downwards until actual and potential GDP are identical, assuming labor markets are flexible. Positive output gap, upward pressure on inflation. If actual GDP is greater than potential GDP, then there is a positive output gap. Some resources, including labor, are likely to be working beyond their normal capacity, for instance making extra use of shift work and overtime. The main problem is likely to be an acceleration of demand pull and cost push inflation. Shortages of labor put upward pressure on wage rates, and in the next time period, a rise in wage rates shifts SRAS upwards until actual and potential GDP are identical, assuming labor markets are flexible. The output gap and unemployment in the UK. Output gap, unemployment, claimant count measure. Recession and the output gap. The latest forecasts from the OECD suggest that the UK will operate with a large negative output gap for some time to come. The gap between actual and potential GDP is estimated to widen to its greatest level since the recession of the early 1980s. There are some economists who argue that the fallout from the slump will have long-term damage to our productive capacity, and that the UK economy may experience a permanent loss of output. This might arise from a sharp rise in the number of business failures, together with a long-term loss of people from the labour market, if they suffer extended periods out of work. Spare capacity. When a business is operating at less than 100% capacity, it is said to have spare capacity. Demand factors. Lower demand due to a decline in consumption. Loss of market share due to poor marketing, or competitors having better products. Seasonal variations in demand, that is temporary spare capacity during off-peak times. 101B1C, 2A2B2C, 3A4A4B, 5A5B5C, 6A6B6C. Supply factors. Increase in capacity not yet matched by increased demand. Because new technology has been introduced in anticipation of higher demand. Improvements in productivity, mean capacity increases for a given level of demand. Spare capacity can be useful, in that it allows businesses to respond to short-term or an unexpected increase in demand. When there is some productive slack, supply is price elastic. It also provides time for maintenance, repairs, and employee training.